You're listening to Football Special, the definitive Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Football Special podcast. I'm joined today by Alan Foley, Frank Craig and Chris McNulty makes his long-awaited return, and later on we'll have Damien Dowd. I think this is the one we've all been looking forward to. When we started off, we were talking about the McKenna Cup and such matters. And but I remember the first episode, I asked the three lads here around the table to tell me what they were looking forward to this year, and they all said the 26th of May and playing Tyrone in McCool Park. Well, that day is now fast approaching, and Donegal entered the game as All-Ireland and Ulster champions. We're going for 3 in a row, which for Donegal is unprecedented. Armagh, of course, did it back in the mid 2000s, but that in and of itself would be a tremendous achievement. And as we look at the landscape around Ulster, Frank, I think it's fair to say that Donegal or Tyrone, whoever wins on the 26th of May, will be hot favourites to actually take the title itself.
Yeah, I think that's the general feeling, that the 26th of May is the de facto Ulster final. But I suppose whatever team comes through there will have to probably guard against, a certain level of complacency. But I think by all intents and purposes, I mean, even I suppose the national media that were present at the press night the last night, I think everybody feels that the winners that come through this game will be fit to maybe build up a decent head of steam en route to an Ulster final, and obviously into an All-Ireland quarter-final then.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's the harder side of the draw as well, Chris, because the winners of the Donegal Tyrone will play either Derry, who will be playing in Division 1 next year, and Down, who are playing in Division 1 this year. And other than Tyrone, you know, Ulster only has two teams in Division 1 again next year. So Derry won Division 2. I was at that game. It really was a Division 2 type game. But to be fair, when Donegal won Division 2 in 2011, I don't suppose anyone was watching that game and thinking this is a team that's going to go far.
Yeah, I think Derry are probably dark horses in a way, but at the same time, you know, you say there that we're on the hard side of the draw, and of course we are, because we play Tyrone, and the last two beaten Ulster finalists, and I suppose the last two finalists that were beaten pretty well in Ulster finalists. The other side of the draw, really, and, you know, no disrespect to any of our teams, but really the only name that stands out is Armagh, and it's probably going on historical significance that we're looking at Armagh. I mean, okay, they do have Jamie Clark and stuff, but you'd probably fancy Armagh. Monaghan had a decent league, albeit again in Division 3, and, you know, how much significance does having a good Division 3 have when it comes to Ulster Championship? We probably are, and we are definitely on the hard side of the draw. If, and it's a big if, we get over Tyrone, we play Derry or Down, again, you'd have to say, and, you know, again, without looking too far down the line, if we do beat Tyrone, you would have to be very, very confident of winning the Ulster Championship.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I think if you even look at the league positions this year, the top 8 and then the next two, so you had 4 Ulster counties in the top 10 league positions, I think, with the 3 in Division 1. We came 7th, of course, Down came 8th, Derry came in the top 2 Division 1, Tyrone came 2nd. So in that respect, people said it was the most difficult Division 1 in years, plus 2 decent-ish teams getting up in Derry and Westmeath, maybe not as good as we'd like to think us going down, but you have 4 out of the best 10 league teams, so that proves how hard that side of the Ulster Championship draw is.
Yeah, someone said this morning, or last night, or recently, that the seven of the best 8 teams in the country were in Division 1 this year. And I was kind of thinking, well, who's the odd team out there? Would people say Derry ahead of Down, or
quite possibly?
Yeah,
I think
very marginal thing. I would have thought so. Yeah, but Alan, I think me and you talked over a pint one time that we really would love to get a crack at Armagh in an Ulster final to soothe all those years of hurt.
Yeah, that must be a good way to go, Kieran, because we're not drinking before championship. But definitely, I think we've had that much hardship from Armagh. They knocked us out of the championship, I think, every year between 2002 and 2006. We got a slice of luck back in 07, of course. We haven't come across them since. But I don't know, I think that's it, the draw. I think Monaghan might be the team maybe to watch. They don't have a preliminary round. They're playing Antrim in the first game, so you'd think they're basically got one foot in the semi-final. Then even Cavan might fancy themselves a little bit. They have a lot of underage success, and sooner or later that's going to have to translate into something in the senior bracket, but God knows, really.
Yeah, they have a home game, and as you say, they're on a bit of a high after 3 in a row in Ulster in the under-21s, and really putting it up to Cork in the All-Ireland semi-final. missing Gerard Kiernan now for the season, which is going to be a big loss to them. And we don't really know what Armagh are going to produce after a very mediocre league campaign, but they still have some star players.
Armagh probably, to a degree, would remind you maybe a wee bit of Donegal maybe a few seasons ago. There is a talent pool of players there, but maybe they're just not inspired or been motivated in the right way. And I suppose a bit of momentum, and maybe this year with a wee change in management there, you know, it might be a formidable enough outfit, I suppose, it remains to be seen. But we probably do owe Armagh a debt of gratitude indirectly, because it was that performance or lack of performance a number of seasons ago that brought about maybe a seismic shift in the way Donegal approach football. And I suppose with Jim McGuinness at the helm now, I mean, that spawned all that there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they've not really made an impact in the Championship really since about 2006. I think they got to the semi-final, but even Kerry turned them over pretty well the day that Cork beat Donegal by a point.
Yeah.
Because the year after we caught them, people thought they might regroup in the qualifiers, but I think they lost to Derry in the next game, and that's pretty much been the slide since.
Mm. And even that Ulster final in 06 was only a penalty, I think, just before half time. Can't remember who scored it, but it was a pretty close game in that 06 game. I think
Paul Green scored a goal right after half time, I believe. I think they won by four, but it was a comfortable 4 points.
Yeah. But even later on, I think Steve McDermott had a goal goal chance, and he carried it maybe a bit too far, and we were ultimately turned over.
That was in the area, though, what, no matter what we'd done, we weren't going to beat Armagh anyway.
Yeah, they're a cautionary tale in some ways, I guess, because we think of that team from the noughties, and they were so dominant in Ulster, mostly at our expense, and yet they only won one All-Ireland title, whereas Tyrone, the team we'll face on the 26th of May, won three titles in that time, and only one of them from being Ulster champions.
There were funny things that Armagh team, because every time they used to trounce us, you thought they were unreal, but remember they lost to Fermanagh by a point when Tom Brewster scored, I think it was 0-4. They lost to Wexford, I think, as well, in an All-Ireland quarter-final. Like, the last games, you didn't really expect them to lose. Maybe we had... We made them look like maybe the best team in the world, and I think the 0-4 was their biggest real showpiece Armagh for performance. They absolutely hammered us at Croke Park. It was the first Ulster final in Croke Park. I remember, I think it was maybe 3-15 to 11 points. It was a massive win for them. And then, as we said, they lost to Fermanagh in the next game.
Yeah, if you read Oisín McConville's book, he quips, well, I think it's a quip, but anyway, the humour mightn't come across in black and white, but he loved playing against Donegal because they were a nice footballing side, and they let you play, which I suppose as an indirect slight, and as with Donegal maybe not going out with maybe a tactical game plan or as such, because back then when football was evolving, particularly the likes of Tyrone or Mad Donegal, were probably still a bit naive in how maybe they set their stall out those games.
Right, well, on the way up today I had to stop off in Maynooth Post Office to do some business, and it was hot, crowded, unattractive. Reminded me a lot of last year's Ulster semi-final when Donegal played Tyrone. Are we in for more of the same on 26th of May?
Yeah, it was Sherry last year. I think the weather changed about four times during that game, and the tactics changed a lot in that game as well. But even though it maybe wasn't the most pretty game in the eye, I think it was really one of the most intriguing games of football ever played. And a lot of people said it was like chess and coloured jerseys. The draw had been made the previous October. I think Mickey Hart was really gunning for Donegal, and having come short when Paul Durkin made the great save, I think Tyrone weren't really ready for the challenge of Kerry that came after that. So I think everything is geared towards this game. It'll be the exact same this year.
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it, my kind of recollection, and this probably maybe stems from the fact that they were missing their marquee player, Sean Kavanagh, but Tyrone played quite like underdogs that day. I mean, they sat back. They were willing to let Donegal come on to them. Donegal perhaps didn't make the most of that, and it was our fitness and conditioning that I think saw us through more so than the fact that we were obviously a better team.
Well, I think if you look at Tyrone, maybe the league final now has given them that kind of, I suppose, momentum, and we debate the merits of the league, but maybe Tyrone needed that there, whereas we probably haven't needed it because we have that maybe championship pedigree this last couple of years. But looking at the way maybe Jim McGuinness or Rory Gallagher's cerebral or, you know, tactical take on football at the minute, I mean, that'll spook a lot of managers. It won't spook Mickey Hart, and I think he'll really sat there battling. For Donegal to function, you probably do need to invite them on you or engage them, and I think Tyrone will happily not fall into that there trap. So as Alan said, it could turn out to be like a game of chess, and I suppose whoever blinks first, but definitely from the outside looking in and looking at it in that there sense, it mightn't reflect well on TV and people might maybe hang it out to dry as a spectacle, but definitely interesting in the build up and how all that's going to play out.
What are Tyrone going to do differently this year? I mean, we've beaten them in 2011 and 2012 by 3 points in 2011 in quite a tight game that, you know, we scored 2-6 and Peter Hart missed every free he was given to kick, more or less. Last year was a slightly different game in that they were probably
less impressive than they were the previous year, but of course the previous year they're playing with a full deck. So what's going to change? I mean, they have Sean Kavanagh back. Is he going to make the difference for them?
Well, I think Tyrone are probably going to come to Balbuffet and try and hit Donegal early. I don't expect Tyrone to be cagey. I think they might try and maybe sort of do that crowd silencing tactic of maybe trying an early goal or trying to pluck us with a couple of early points. But funny, I think this is a much bigger game for Tyrone in a way, because they've now lost twice to Donegal in the Championship. And speaking to Mickey last week, I asked him, did he owe Donegal one? And he said, like, it wasn't personal between him and Jim McGuinness, but that, yes, his team owed Donegal one, because their confidence has sort of been shattered in a way by those beatings of Donegal. Like, they're probably the one team that have scared Donegal in the last couple of Championships. They're the one team that, they're probably the hardest games that we've had has been the two games against Tyrone, and they probably feel a sense of, you know, that they really do owe Donegal one. Now, what they're going to do differently, I don't know if they're going to do anything differently as such. If they don't come out and try and blitz us, then they will try and keep it tight, frustrate us, double up on Murphy, probably try and test Lacey's fitness and his strength early on. Sean Kavanagh is going to be a big, big boost for them, and I suppose how Donegal look at dealing with Sean Kavanagh is going to be a big thing in that game.
That's one thing I was wondering about. I mean, I don't know how you deal with him. I don't know if Donegal have a player in the middle of the field who is set up to deal with him, because I was at the league semi-final and final, and he had a very quiet semi-final. He didn't stand out, but at the end, once he made a terrific block within his own 20, and then in the league final, he volleyed over a point from basically the edge of the 5 or 6 yard box, whatever it is in GAA, and you're just kind of thinking, you know, to get up and down like that, you know, it signifies what a great player he is, or just what an athlete he is. So I mean, I'm not sure, will anyone be detailed? What did we do in 2011 with Sean Kavanagh?
I think Jim trusts his players a lot, and I don't think he'll maybe look at one of his two midfielders, say Neil Gallagher or Rory. I think he might go sort of either deeper or bring someone back. You know, Jim has a lot of trust in players, and if he sees someone in the forward line or in the defence that he feels that can shadow Sean Kavanagh, there's no one really standing out. I'm thinking maybe even the likes of a Paddy McGrath, sticky cornerback, pull him out and just tell him to do that job. And Sean Kavanagh, Frank McGlynn's got a great engine. You know, we do have a lot of options of players that could shadow Sean Kavanagh for 70 minutes and quite comfortably shadow him, if not curtail him. You know, we do have options outside the midfield too.
I think we went with three in midfield last year, because you had Ryan Bradley, you had Rory Kavanagh and Neil Gallagher. It was the one game the three of them actually all played pretty centrally, so maybe that's something they'll follow again.
Yeah, that's something we touched on before. I'd be a fan of seeing maybe Ryan Bradley come into centre, because I think if you do one primary ball indirectly, or, you know, to a degree, maybe it solves that Sean Kavanagh problem. And in terms of dynamics and maybe chasing after him, you know, the likes of Ryan Bradley and Rory Kavanagh have particularly good engines, but you'd be hoping Neil, in terms of fielding and fetching, would maybe lord it around the middle. And a big day in Balbuffet, pretty confident in Neil, you know, maybe winning that there battle anyway, because I think at this moment in time, you know, he's obviously one of the premier midfielders in the country, and his confidence is high. But sorry, just to the original point about what will Tyrone do differently, I suppose what might bridge the gap, or, you know, they've gone agonisingly close, the confidence that they'll take from their league campaign, you know, will probably bring them up a wee notch as well. And I would say their players will come to Balbuffet with a lot more belief than they might have entered those two previous games in the last two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they ran Dublin right to the pin of their collar, and that was without Stephen O'Neill, who still is their marquee forward. There was a sense watching the game, Tyrone probably blew it. Like, they fell away in the last kind of 10 minutes. They made some poor decisions with regarding shot selection. Dublin had probably more options on the bench, and that influenced the game. I just wonder, like, I suppose looking at what will Tyrone do differently, maybe they won't do anything. Will Donegal do anything differently this year? Like, to me, it's going to be pretty obvious. Like, Donegal are going to be so focused on getting fit and up to the standard of fitness we saw last summer for this game. And that's basically what got us over the line last year in the war of contrition. It was Donegal's superior conditioning and fitness. So, any sense that Tyrone are going to be up to the level of Donegal in that respect?
I think it's a given that we're going to do something differently.
All the gates are locked.
Yeah, you know, if you look at our last two championships, like, you know, there was they were completely different, you know, in 2011 with the whole defensive model. And last year we retained it to a very good degree, and we added that offensive side of it. And as Alan says there, the gates are locked and the windows are blacked up and everything. Yeah. So, I mean, God knows what's going behind those locked gates and closed doors.
Mm. Yeah, well, Jim kind of famously said when he didn't get the job, I think it was maybe 2008, was it, that he had the PowerPoint presentation ready of the evolution of Donegal football for 4 to 5 years. So he had year one, year two, year three, year four. So I think what the lads are working on now is this evolution. So no one really knows what's going to happen. The curtains have been closed, but
you might even see.
Yeah, we need to get our hands on that laptop.
Which you probably have to factor it in too, as the manager has got to fit Michael Murphy to deal with too. And I'm sure he's been, focal to whatever Donegal or whatever Jim has wanted to play. I know he's operated centre half forward. He gravitated back in towards full forward in an All Ireland final last year when he was just getting his fitness right. But we all know Michael Murphy is raring to go this year, so it'll be interesting. I'd love to see him on the edge of the square against Tyrone, and I would envisage that's where he'll be.
Yeah, one thing, I didn't hear much from the friendly against Galway, but one thing that stood out was that Paddy McGrath scored his first point forward on a goal. So, I mean,
I don't think we'll see Paddy at full forward now, but stranger things have happened.
No, but when you think about, you know, the impact Frank McGlynn and Carl Lacey and other defenders had on Donegal results last year, you know, if Paddy could chip in with a point here or there, because looking at last year's game again, Donegal I think had either 6 or 7 scorers and Tyrone had 8 scorers, so it wasn't, no one player dominated the game in terms of scoring. It was literally whoever was in position to take the score took it.
Like, if you watch Donegal, you'll see the likes of Frank McGlynn and Paddy McGrath get into it. I mean, if you think back, there'll be a lot of opportunities when you'll see Paddy and you'll be thinking to yourself, shoot, but Colin McFadden probably owes the likes of Frank McGlynn and Paddy McGrath a couple of drinks, because the way they peel off around the outside, you know, it's laid off to Colin coming in his left, and I'm often surprised other teams maybe don't put a sweeper on Colin McFadden's left, because I mean he's our chief score getter, you know, and he clocks up. Without him you would wonder where the bulk of our scores do come from. But obviously with Michael fit and healthy this year, and hopefully Paddy McBrearty chipping in with maybe 3 or 4 points a game, you know, that'll alleviate the wee bit of pressure off Colin, because teams will be making provisions for Colin McFadden for sure.
I think maybe that might be something that we might see different from Donegal, and I think it was Frank touched on it in a previous episode that, you know, Paddy McBrearty, if we can get Paddy to start contributing really regularly, and I think at the time you called him maybe the best kept secret in Ireland, I think that's a very fair point now coming into Championship, because in the last few weeks he's been absolutely superb for Kilcare, and I know his club form has always been quite good for Kilcare, but he's adding a lot of scores. You know, he scored I think 2-6 last Monday, which in any game is phenomenal, and if we could add a handful of points to Paddy McBrearty's game to go with the fit Michael Murphy, to go with a Colin McFadden, that's going to be serious hard to stop. And looking through the two teams there, just with Tyrone teams from the league final in front of us, and talk about marquee players and players that we expect to have that 9 out of 10 performance on the big day, you know, you'd have to say Donegal have a lot more of those players. You know, Murphy, McFadden, Lacey, the McGees, look at Rory Kavanagh, Big Neil. You know, we have so many more, you know, because outside of what Peter Hart, Stephen O'Neill, Martin Penrose, the McMahons, you know, do Tyrone have a born match winner like we have in so many places?
Well, I think we definitely have the advantage at forward. I mean, Stephen O'Neill is a wonderful player, but he's not the dominant force that Michael Murphy, you know, can be. And
if in doubt, you can send a ball directly into Michael Murphy, and even Colin McFadden in a sense, but that option's not there. Maybe with Stephen O'Neill, and I mean, the space that he's not going to be afforded in May 26th, I think is going to be very obvious. But I suppose it goes back to our point from a previous episode, how fit maybe are some of Donegal's marquee defenders, particularly maybe the likes of Neil McGee and Carol Lacey, to that their level. But I mean, that remains to be seen. We're told they've got a clean bill of health, and fingers crossed that's the way it'll work out for us.
I suppose something else when you mention the fitness of the defenders is discipline, and in a game that we're expecting to be very, very, very tight, discipline could hold the key in the winning or losing of this game. And again, talking about what Tyrone have differently, they now have a really prolific free taker in Niall Morgan, the goalkeeper, not 18 during the National League, fair return for a goalkeeper. And last year they had 7 different free takers in a game that they lost by 2 points, and you know, you'd fancy Niall Morgan to be putting over a few points against us, so we really need to hold their discipline. And I suppose if players are lacking a bit of fitness, it is a danger that they're going to be maybe that little second behind and may give away. So, you know, I think that discipline, and of course our friend Mr. McQuillan with the whistle as well.
Yeah, Damien, welcome. Better late than never. For you, where's the winning and losing of this game on the 26th of May?
That's an easy one there. Look, Donegal have had we've come out the right side the last two meetings with Tyrone in the Championship, and that defeat in the league was, I suppose, Donegal's first, or Jim McGuinness's first, against Tyrone. The winning of it, you know, get back to what we were like last year in the Championship. Like, we were very disciplined in defence last year. We weren't conceding those scoreable frees. Chris is right about Morgan. He's a new weapon that Tyrone didn't really have last year. The likes of young Clark has come in very well in the defence, and I get mixed up between Mark and Matthew Donnelly. Like,
yeah, don't we all?
One of them, the boy that's playing kind of centre half forward in place of Peter Hart in the league final, I think that's Mark, I think.
Mark, but, yeah, that was Mark, yeah.
Now, he's like the reincarnation of Brian Duher in many respects. Like, so he's a very dangerous player. From Donegal's perspective, look, we need to, we just need to get Murphy and McFadden scoring heavily, which, you know, we were able to do towards the end of the Championship last year. Michael, of course, struggled in the early part of the season last year to a degree. He wasn't quite up to the standard that we'd expect of him. But, you know, that's it. Get those going. We're generally on top of midfield. We were on top of midfield in the league game. We have the options there. Durkin's kick-out strategy is going to be important as well. You know, I think Tyrone, for all that they have, the Cavanagh brothers in midfield aren't, you know, the most dominant midfielder we're going to face all year. So I think we can get that and then convert our midfield possession into scoring attacks.
Interesting mention in Durkin's kick-outs, because one thing that I noticed during the league game against Dublin in Ballybuffet was that Paul Durkin's kickouts were reaching the Dublin half back line without any bother. So, and I, as far as I can recall, it was a fairly calm day that day. There wasn't a hugely strong breeze. So midfield might not become an issue in terms of, you know, unless the ball is kicked there. Like, I mean,
but it's like Niall Morgan. He won't become an issue unless he's brought into the game by giving away needless frees like that. So it is a threat that you can quell if you're well disciplined.
Yeah, well, even 45s, you know, which we have to be so...
His range is 55 metres.
Well,
like,
exactly.
This is it, you know. His is a greater range than anything that we've faced.
But it's not even about fouling. It's about not letting them have shots that you need to block, you know. That's so
yeah,
don't,
but
you know.
It was last year Donegal were accused of a lot of tactical fouling because they did give away a lot of frees around the middle of the field, but not too many scoreable frees.
A lot could rest on if Morgan nails his first 45 or nails his first free. I mean, it's going to be a huge atmosphere there. He was taking off free kick duties in one of the National Football League games where there is, you're not under that much duress, in fairness. And I suppose 18,000 people in Ballybuffet, you know, stick one or two wide and maybe, you know, that weapon doesn't become as potent as we imagine it's going to be. So you just never know.
The other thing about the kick-outs, like, I think in the game against Mayo, Paul Durkin was pulled up and the Mayo keeper were both pulled up for delaying kick-outs. Now, I had a look at the video of those. You're looking at less than 30 seconds, 27, 28 seconds, something like that. These goalkeepers are taking 45 seconds to 50 seconds over these kicks. This summer, you will see some referee blowing that up for time wasting, because you will find that teams are using that as a means of time wasting. We've seen Dublin doing it famously through Cluxton. They're trying to control the clock, and if Tyrone were to get ahead, they're to get 60-yard free kicks. They'll bring them up just to delay the game and control it. Like, and that's look, it's something that hasn't yet been addressed by the rulemakers and probably could be doing with being addressed.
Damien, you're listening to too much Colin Parkinson on Off the Ball. Like, I mean,
that was Joe McCullen refereeing that all the final against Kerry as well.
But what will happen here is some referee will, I suppose, try to address it himself and he'll probably get it wrong. It needs to come from, as Damien says, Crow Park, so we know there's no ambiguity about it. It needs to be black and white what you're allowed and what you're not allowed, because, I mean, it could happen in Ballybuffet where Joe McCullen turns around and decides, listen, you're only getting X
and
amount of time.
When you look at a guy whose range is such 55, maybe 60 metres, you know, if Tyrone are winning by a point in the last minute and they get a free on that range, they're happy enough for Niall Morgan to go and kick it dead. You know, it doesn't become at that stage, but if he has that distance, and as Damien said, the time factor taken in, that could be a defining factor.
Well, Cluxton against Kerry 2 seasons ago in the All-Ireland final is the standout, I suppose, example of that there.
Last kick of the game.
But there's been an issue this year with time and injury time. You've seen Jim against Kildare in the first game. The injury time is a lot tighter now than it used to be, and you can see Jim queried that night in Croke Park, and I think he got into a little bit of a squabble on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the Dublin game, and again, I don't want to really make excuses for Donegal in that game, but the injury time in that game was a lot less, I think, than I would have thought.
It's the kind of regulation this year that
So just curious on the Morgan thing and this you know, the time taken to take the freeze. Do you think we'll see any subliminal messaging from in Donegal camp around that?
I'd certainly be talking about it. I mean, we've tried Durkin on the long-range freeze and it didn't work out. Plus, we have Michael Murphy who can convert from 55 metres out himself from the ground. But the difference is Michael doesn't get 45 seconds to a minute to labour over his. But the ball had been happening, given the other way long before that. So you can't really make it. You know, realistically, I don't think a distinction can be made for goalkeepers to be allowed to do that. Ultimately, the place to do it is to allow referees to add on at a time for it. Now, the GA at a time is a very funny at a time. It doesn't allow for substitutions. It doesn't allow for bookings or anything like that. It's solely, supposedly, for breaks. It's injury time, not at a time. Injury time only. They probably need to look at that. As Alan says, there's been very short injury times allowed in the season to date. They might want to take a wee look at that, because teams certainly are using this as a tactic to do it. I read somewhere Shane Kern, the Roscommon, former Roscommon, is the Bridges goalkeeper, saying that the goalkeeper should be allowed to take these long-range kicks off a tee.
Well, guys, we're all assuming, though, that Tyrone are going to be winning the game with no time left, or in a position to win the game with no time left. When has that ever happened to Donegal in the last couple of years, other than obviously the semi-final in 2011? We've always been ahead come the last 5-10 minutes, so if we're in a position where Niall Morgan has a chance to win or tie the game, I'm guessing something will have gone wrong somewhere.
I don't know. I suppose we have been. I think that night we played Kildare in the quarterfinal 2 years ago, and we came from behind in injury time, with the 2 points, and we were behind as well when Christy Tighe got the goal. So
yeah, we're 3 points down, I think, at one stage in that second period of extra time. Yeah, so I think last year, out of the 14 halves of football we played, the only one we actually were trailing in was at half time against Tyrone. Martin Penrose put them 6-5 ahead. So apart from that, we've been alright, but people have said, can Donegal chase a game? As you said, I think Donegal proved that against Kildare. It was a real game 2 years ago. They had to chase a game.
Yeah. And look, the reality is, like, Donegal don't let themselves get into situations where they have to chase the game. So it's not by accident that Absolutely, Donegal find themselves in that position. Yeah. So you can equally argue against it. But yeah, I think it would be interesting if Stephen O'Neill fires the net after 30 seconds or a minute, and then Morgan taps over a few frees, and suddenly Donegal find themselves 5 points down. Some similar position to what Mayo find themselves in the All-Ireland final last year. How did Donegal react to that? And looking back at last year's game, again, the way Tyrone played us was to invite us on, to sit back. Donegal running into cul-de-sacs, it took us a long time to get going and to get the confidence to take shots from distance, which is the way to beat that sort of defence. I mean, as you said, Alan, we were a point down at half-time. Second half, Ryan Bradley scored a point, Rory Kavanagh scored 2 points. We found a way, and then our fitness and conditioning took over. So I think, yeah, the start of the game will be, the start of any game is generally crucial, but given the way Tyrone played last year and the weapon they have this year in Morgan, it could be even more crucial this year. Looking at the Donegal starting 15 for the 26th of May, all things being equal, it's going to be the same team that walked out against Mayo in September, I would think.
I'd say it's definitely going to be the same team, depending on the injuries and stuff. We're led to believe everything's going well. I'd be a little bit worried about the cover. Even Christy Tighe was a very important player last year. He came on and really experienced at the end of games. Christy's not in the panel at the minute. He's only black playing club football, which is great to see.
Yep.
David Walsh, out of the panel, is probably the guy that's chasing fitness the most. He's played a half for Newbridge and his club championship on this weekend as well, so hopefully he can throw that out. But they were nearly the first two subs a lot of the time, and maybe Martin McElhenney, who's going very well for St Michael's at the minute.
Yeah, for David Walsh, so I think you have Ryan McHugh, who's not too dissimilar type of player, and even Marty O'Reilly to an extent, but Christy Tighe is a hard man to replace, because Christy, good running with the ball, can take a score, plenty of experience. We don't have that. Like during the league, we saw Ross Wherdy's not at that level yet. McElhenney is not the same player as Christy Tighe. He's a different type of player. So I think Christy, we haven't replaced him. And one thing I would look at in terms of where did Tyrone have the advantage over us, I think they have a better bench. Guys like McAlaskey, Coney, Aidan Cassie, who got injured in the league final, and I'm not quite sure on his status, but he's he's a good man to come in, and I think Tyrone's panel is probably a bit deeper than our
own. I'd be a big fan of David Walsh now, and I would worry about him just coming back. I think he's only got a half under his belt for Neatbridge, and I suppose as Christy, obviously a very talented footballer, and it was in that last 10-15 minute period when you can stretch teams, both of them would have the legs to do that. I think Donegal, I know we're saying everything's hunky-dory, but Donegal and Jim McGuinness still have a huge decision to make before the Tyrone game, and that is that to go with Ciara Lacy at number 6. That's still a big decision and a big issue, because regardless of how we dress it up, the lad hasn't that much football played, and it's a huge place. Number 6 is such an important berth in that their team, especially Ciara being such a quality player. It'll be interesting to see if Donegal decide to go with him, because if you do get over the line, I mean, no disrespect in the other team in the province, I think you could afford maybe to, you know, ease players back in after that there, but do you take that chance against their own? Because as Michael Murphy would say, it's a formidable
a massive proposition.
So I think there's a lot of things that I suppose have to be decided on before then, but the Ciara Lacy decision is a big one to make. And you know,
but in fairness, like since Ciara Lacy got injured, all the talk was having him ready for this game, not any other game. So I would have thought that his recovery plan, his fitness, has all been managed towards the 26th of May. But I agree totally that there's no substitute for game time and getting someone ready for a game like that. But Declan Walsh came on after 3 minutes last year against Tyrone and generally did okay. I think we've seen him at times in the league this year, he's done okay. So, you know, it might be a thing that, you know, maybe if we're not 100% confident in, we don't start with Ciara Lacy, because we have to remember this game on the 26th of May is just the first game of the championship. Now, it's interesting to hear Jim McGuinness saying we haven't thought about the qualifiers. It's good to hear in a way that, you know, we're focusing on winning that game, like, but we have to face the reality. Like, if we look at Tyrone, only one All Ireland from an Ulster after winning the Ulster Championship. So it is not the be all and end all. But I mean, when we look at the energy Donegal expend in games, you know, you don't feel that you want the long route through the qualifiers.
Well, we've placed all our eggs in this one basket from the very start. So I mean, they can't change script now. Like, I mean, a lot, so much rides on this game, not just in terms of, I suppose, a route to a Ulster quarter final, but players, I suppose, confidence, players with Jim. All we've heard is May 26th, before the league, during the league and after the league, and I wasn't that much worried. I know, Kieran, you took it pretty hard, the relegation to Division 2, but I wasn't that worried, because I see the, I suppose, the method, and his explanation the last night particularly was that the players, you know, he didn't want to shoot them out of the blocks this year, because getting to an All-Ireland final takes a lot out of you physically. Donegal were late back to training. There's a lot of variables and a lot of things that I suppose you have to add up there, but once the final whistle goes in this game in Balbuffet, I think we'll all have a better clue to where this Donegal panel are collectively in terms of injuries, and are they up to speed, and where we might go or mightn't go in the 2013 campaign.
I'm just wondering on Ciara Lacy. You know, we talked earlier on, could we see something different from Donegal? Ciara is so important, but I'm just wondering, do we have to play him at number 6?
No.
Could we see Ciara Lacy maybe detailed in a cornerback role, maybe on Martin Penrose or on a Stephen O'Neill? You know, Ciara is so important, and I think if he's a Ciara Lacy at 70-75%, will play.
Just remind me again, what type of injury was it? It was
a hip operation. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you know, because you think about, well, is he just not going to be fit enough to run up and down, or is it going to be a case that, you know, in a corner back slot, does he have to need to turn quickly or move like that? So
you're going side to side, you're moving him, you're being stretched every direction. I suppose a hip injury and the nature of that there, I mean, that's what's going to test it. In an Ulster Championship against Tyrone, I think you couldn't have, I suppose, a harder, more difficult opening. If Ciara comes through that there, it's brilliant. And I think we can finally draw a line under all that then.
Yeah.
I think just on Frank's point as well, like, everything's been about May 26th pretty much since that day in October the draw was made. And you know, I know Jim said, I think it was the week before the Dublin game, that he started championship preparation, but I think, let nobody be fooled, Jim McGuinness has been preparing for May 26th in Tyrone since long before they went on holiday to Dubai. And everything that he has done in the months and weeks and days since has been about gearing the Donegal team to play Tyrone on May 26th. So you know, I think the plan is long since in place, and these behind closed doors training sessions, these weeks and days away now, going away to Johnston House and stuff this week, I think that's only about fine tuning what has been going on, I think, behind the cameras and away from us all over the last few months.
But Michael Murphy made the point that the press night on Thursday night, that it's only this year, it's May 26th. He says last year all the talk was May 20th, and it was drummed in our heads. Maybe we've kind of overlooked that just with the passing of time. The year before it was May the 15th in Antrim. He says that's just the date they look at, the first game. He says it doesn't matter. Jim said, I think this week in the media, he says it didn't matter if you're playing Tyrone or you're playing a Division 3 or 4 team. It's the same focus on whatever date you're first out in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, look, I suppose the reality is that you're going to pay more attention to things when you're Ireland champions than, you know, the year previously. So fair enough. But one thing I was bothered about, Damien, was that we just seem to be making a rod for our own back with this constant focus on May 26th. And even now, saying we haven't thought about the qualifiers and the whole thing about home venue as well, and ensuring about the game in Balfe, and now we're having, you know, no surprise that there's issues with ticketing. That was clear from when the venue was announced.
I suppose the ticketing thing has been a bit of an issue, and clubs are going to be really feeling the pain for it for the next few weeks, as fewer of their members are going to get tickets than might have been previously expected. I mean, a couple of things happened. First of all, the online sale, and I saw the Ulster Council's comment on it this week, was that they released the information through social media and that they were very happy with it. The first I saw that all the tickets were going on sale was via Twitter or something like, and it was a boast that 1,000 had been sold in half an hour and no one knew anything about it. Like, so
I put a call in to the executive on the Tuesday just before we went to print, and there was no updates and tickets, and then the next morning, you know, they go on sale, as Damien says, online. It just, somebody is, there's a failure there somewhere.
Absolutely. Look, we have two representatives that sit on Ulster Council, and it's they should be knowing what's happening and informing our clubs. I would have expected there is channels that the tickets need to be sold through, right? And if leaving aside whether or not it's correct that for a sold out game that they should be made available to the general public and not exclusive to GA members, leave that argument aside. What should be happening is the county secretary should know, should be informed. He should be informed either by Ulster Council or our delegates to Ulster Council, and he should inform the clubs then. And if people wanted to go and sleep out overnight and get tickets at Super Value and Bell Buffet the next morning, well, so be it. But they needed to be let know in advance. Well, and it's complete and utter failure on Ulster Council's behalf. And it's Ulster Council's failure on this, because it's them that sells the tickets.
Yeah, because I was actually at the launch of the championship last week, and when I was going into the building, I met a prominent Ulster Council official, and he informed me just as I was going in the door that you know, we have a great news story for you, we've just sold 1500 tickets. So I was a bit taken aback and mentioned it to the two senior officials, the chairman and secretary, neither of whom, when the tickets were had been and gone and sold, knew that they were even released. So
and didn't even find out a number afterwards.
And, and it went from 1,000 to 1,500, you know, in the space of...
Can I see the breakdown of that 1,000 or 1,500, how many have gone into Red Hands and how many have made their way into Donegal supporters'
hands? There's a few gone into Green and Red Hands as well, let me tell you. There's a lot of people interested in this game. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just don't understand why tickets have been released in stages. I mean, to me, it's farcical that tickets went on sale before clubs even knew what allocation people were getting. Because you could have a club member who's thinking, I'm getting, you know, a ticket, and, you know, they may have passed up the opportunity to buy one or not been in tune to buy one. And, like, then, I mean, Super Value weren't going to sell them, I think, till the 13th of May. I think it's this coming Monday they go on sale. So I don't understand why it's been staggered. I mean, again, communication to GAA, tell people what's happening, when it's happening, so they know what to expect and can react, and there's not issues afterwards.
Yeah, I don't think the problem was the 1,500 tickets going online, you know, because I suppose with contracts and stuff, tickets.ie and Super Value, you have to get them. But the problem was no one was told.
Yes.
Not even the county chairman, county secretary, club members, ordinary supporters. I mean, as Damien says, had it been said that they're going on release at 9 a.m. on Monday the 13th, then from Sunday night the 12th, we could have been out with the tents and Bell Buffet, but, you know.
Yeah.
The tickets are now gone, and God knows where they have gone.
It's almost unprecedented that you'd have a sold-out game in the first round, but they really needed to treat this almost like an All-Ireland, you know, the other sold-out game that you're kind of guaranteed the year. They needed to treat it that way. Like, and I'm not sure that tickets should have been released to the likes of Super Value or Tickets.ie. I thought they should go to the clubs in the first instance. Like, you know, and I mean, the club allocations now, it's something like 40% of the membership are going to get tickets. Tyrone, I see, are complaining they've got 1,000 fewer tickets than Donegal, and they're complaining that their small allocation, you know, that's, from our perspective, it's our home game. It's quite a large allocation for Tyrone, I would have thought. Yeah. But, you know, the home team, in this case Donegal, are getting around just slightly over a third of the tickets for the game. I don't believe that's adequate. I don't believe that's correct. Like, I really don't believe tickets should have been sold through Super Value or Tickets.ie. Should have went to the clubs in the first instance.
And funny, I'm not convinced by Tyrone's argument that they've got 1,000 fewer tickets, because for Donegal there's 5,750 or whatever it is, but the total for Donegal people, if we include season tickets and for the Donegal panel and the Donegal minor panel, is about 6,700. And I think the Tyrone figure that came out during the week, where they're saying they got 1,000 less, was exactly that 5,751 that we got. So I suspect maybe that they've taken their 1,000 off just to maybe use as a stick to beat us. Maybe.
But I think it's fair to leave the season ticket argument out of it, because that's, I think it is a different thing. But when you see there's only 470 stand tickets for Donegal, you just realise how tight things are here. Yeah.
Of course, if it went to Clonus, none of this would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, this
what if this draw?
This is Healy Park.
That would be my view on it. You know, I mean, if Jim and the team believe it's important to play in Bell Buffet, then I'm all for that. I mean, but given the interest and the demand for tickets, Clonus would have been a better option. And believe you me, I'm no fan, great fan of Clonus.
Yeah, the Donegal clubs, you know, have paid quite dearly for this. You know, they've stumped up €125,000, a tenner per member. They've stumped up that, and they're getting a very small ticket allocation for it. Quite a heavy price has been paid to for the honour of having the All Ireland champions run out in McCool Park. Like,
We're well warned, though, in fairness, Damien.
Yeah,
again.
And this is the argument I'm making again about a rod for our own backs is that if all does not go according to plan on the 26th of May, and I mean I talk in terms of the result of the game, but also the running of the game. Like, and you know, go back to the Dublin game, and again, the league game is different because there's no build up. Everyone just arrives at kickoff time and that's it.
Whereas throw in.
Logistics the logistics of it all on the day is going to be very
foreign
interesting because I suppose that amount of crowd is saying non Balbofane in terms of some of the teething problems they had against Dublin. You know, I'm not filled with confidence in them.
No, but I think the crowd will stagger in because there's a minor game where there wasn't in the league.
Stagger?
Well, don't come in mass. But at least people have different levels of interest in minor football. Yeah. I think, you know, there'll be people there before the game. Some people will be happy to have a few drinks and watch the second half. Yeah. Other people will aim for 5-4.
And I think as well, though, am I right in saying maybe Damien might be the best place to answer this, but isn't it the Ulster Council who are actually charged with actually running this game? We host it, but they actually, this is Ulster Council's game, and it's they who run it.
We provide stewards and stuff.
Now, I mean, back to the venue thing, and pardon the parochialism, but I'm delighted the game's in Balbofey. Always thought the game should be in Balbofey, but I think maybe the clubs of the county didn't fully think it through, that they thought, all right, we've been drawn at home and sort of demanded we play at home, and it's only now when they see the figures in black and white.
But did the clubs make that call?
Ultimately they did, because there was work to be done to bring McCool Park up to scratch, and it was they who sanctioned it. So I think maybe they didn't fully think it through, and when they see the figures in black and white this week, they sort of realise, well, you know.
I think they divided 18,000 or 20,000 by two and thought, okay, we'll have 9,000 or 10,000 there, but there's so many fingers in the pie.
Yeah,
a third have gone to other Ulster counties, like, and to the likes of Ticket Study and so
and
on.
And to be fair, I think that's fair enough. I mean, it's a championship game. There's huge general interest. It, as you say, I mean, it's like the All Ireland. The All Ireland competing counties don't get 41,000 each. Far from it. Like, you know, so that's how we got to look at it. And we, you know, we have one of the smaller provincial ground or county grounds, I would say, in the country, and so this is an issue. So I mean, long may the success continue, and you know, we can add on another stand.
Well,
maybe.
Well, there's two arguments. Some people say, you know, if you go to a concert in the O2 after they sell whatever 12,000 tickets, if you don't have a ticket, you don't go. That's the end of that. But on the other hand, then these people that can't get tickets now are members, and they're paying membership at their clubs. They're paying their extra levies now. The other tenner,
yeah,
their clubs are. So there are two sides to the argument.
Fairness. And I suppose the other point has to be made. I was sent to someone on the phone this morning. We've spent massive money now upgrading Balbofey. Where I think for the 8th year in a row at home in the championship.
Bar one.
When really, you know, the Slattery report put down a figure of 12,500 for Balbofey. Outside of this game, when realistically can we expect a crowd of over 12,000 to be in Balbofey?
Because it's only really been once. I think there was one game away from home. I think since 2003, Donegal have been drawn at home every year, bar last year, with the exception of they moved the game in 2005 to Clonus, the Armagh game, which was a drawing game and lost the replay. But the one home game out of all them that was really sold out, a bit like this Tyrone game, was the 2007 Armagh game, and that was...
Our record in Balbofey since 2001 is pretty much break-even. I think we've won one more game than we've lost, and we drew a game, I think, with Fermanagh. So it's not as if it's a huge advantage. But having said that, was the...
Before Jim.
TBJ, I won't say BJ. Before Jim, where, you know, I think Jim is undefeated in Balbofey.
Yeah, so two draws. Drew the first game with Sligo and drew the last game with Dublin,
And I think he said that first night. I was just looking back in a few quotes for a piece I was doing at the end of the National League. And one of the first things he said after that night against Sligo was that he wanted to make Balbofey a bit of a fortress, and that was why it was so important that night that they came back to draw the game, that they were getting off to, well, I suppose it wasn't a winning start, but they weren't getting off to a losing start. And I suppose this is the acid test for them now. You know, we've played quite a few games under them in Balbofey and we're unbeaten, but
I think even from chatting to some of the more experienced players, the lads lost three in a row there between 2008, 2009 and 2010. They also lost a qualifier to Monaghan there by a point, but it's like last year before the Cork game, people kept asking, the national reporters were asking some of the lads who had played in 2009, what about the baggage, what about the baggage? There's no baggage anymore, and it's a new regime. So,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, the ref was announced during the week, Joe McQuillan, who's ref the last two Donegal Tyrone games in the championship. I don't recall, you know, I mean, too many controversial incidents in those games. I do remember, though, last year, I think it was last year, he refed Tyrone Armagh, and I remember watching that game, and okay, maybe when you watch a game as a neutral, you have a different perspective on it, but that game, he seemed to let everything go in terms of, and, you know, I think maybe in 2011 there was a sense of that as well, when Leo McLoone was perhaps lucky enough to get away with what was essentially a professional foul on, was it Justin
Joe McMahon? Was it
Joe or Justin? One of the two McMahons, anyway. Knocked him out. But anyway, the ref is the ref. It's not Marty Duffy. So
he was in charge of the league game as well in Hayley Park, McQuillan, right. Like, you know, and obviously Michael Murphy was sent off just before half time after the penalty. Now he got a second yellow. Like, now again, I remember at the time watching the video, like the first yellow was incredibly soft.
Yeah.
You know, he put his hand on one of Mark Donnelly's shoulder, I think. Donnelly fell to the ground, clearly a free. Never a yellow card, and you know, many's a man hits Michael Murphy far harder, and doesn't, not alone does Murphy not get a free, doesn't get a card given against him. Like, so you know, hopefully Donegal's reputation as All-Ireland champions isn't preceding them, and people don't think that it's time to cut them down to size a wee bit, because we've had a wee bit of that, I think, this season. Like,
We had a county board meeting and a press night during the week, and Jim spoke quite passionately both, I believe.
He did indeed, yeah.
On the issue of fixtures, club fixtures specifically, why have we got this wrong again?
Jim came to the meeting after training on Tuesday night. This is the county board meeting. He was of the understanding there was an agreement in place between the CCC and Rory Gallagher, who represented Jim there. Jim wasn't, he claimed, invited to the initial meeting, and he was disappointed with that. But basically what Jim and Rory wanted was to have access to the players on a Saturday and let the league games be played on a Sunday, or vice versa. Just continuity, basically. The main kind of thing rose to a head in the last couple of weeks. There's been a couple of Saturday evening fixtures now. And last week, after playing Galway on Friday, Jim said he couldn't have a full attendance at training at a very vital time of year, 3 weeks before the Tyrone game. Because lads had commitments with clubs, so that was really the crux of Jim's irritation with the whole setup.
I think where it fell down, though, it goes back to our old feeling in Donegal GA, is communication.
Yeah.
Rory Gallagher met the CCC and came out of the meeting with the understanding that he had an understanding. There was no record, there was no minutes of the meeting, there was no written record, no written agreement.
Yeah, it was just word of mouth.
And what the CCC were
like
saying...
the levy issue where the levy was mentioned, but the microphone wasn't working or something, so nobody heard it, right?
The microphone
the microphone was a bit dodgy on Tuesday night as well, but, you know, I think, you know, for a meeting of that importance, there, you know, really should have been someone there to take some sort of a note. Rory came out thinking one thing. The CCC said that the agreement was that, where possible, they would facilitate his request. And I suppose, in fairness to the CCC, where possible, they have. Because I think only of 47 games, I think there's only been two, maybe three on a Saturday night. So, you know, in fairness to the CCC, they have done a pretty good job this year. It did fall down at a critical time last week, but I think, you know,
well,
we should learn
from... This is just league football. We haven't moved into the championship yet.
Well, there's an issue with the championship as well, because Jim also said he was disappointed. He agreed to have three rounds of championship. Sorry, played over 4 weekends in June. But it was reported then locally that he was happy to go with the fact the club quarterfinals will be on the 10th and 11th of August. Jim says if we're lucky enough to be in an All-Ireland semi-final, he had never agreed to that, so he also made that known the last time.
And again,
well,
that's arising from that meeting where the CCC thought they had agreement from the management, which they didn't. So
no harm that that's brought up now, I suppose. Like, again, not to be getting ahead of ourselves and thinking about All-Ireland quarterfinals, but better that surfaces ahead now than, you know, the week before the quarterfinal or something, you know, where I think we had issues probably last year where he had to go begging or there was pressure exerted on clubs and so on.
I would sort of say different, because Jim left the meeting on Tuesday night without getting answers and without getting it resolved, and he's not due to address county committee again until October. Mm-hmm. So this is going to raise its head, and let nobody be fooled, it is going to raise its head if we advance in the championship. This problem with fixtures is going to crop up again, and when the management don't have the forum now to bring it to county committee, then I do suspect that this is going to come to a head pretty soon again.
Great, something to look forward to then.
They probably should do it just behind closed doors or whatever way they want to work it out, because it was really the last night was, you know, we were there reporting it, but it was really like they were doing their dirty linen in public, I thought.
Yeah.
But I suppose Jim wanted his point across, and I suppose that's his priority. He's looking after his team, which is fair enough.
It was quite disappointing as well. I thought that the CCC response didn't come until after Jim McGuinness had left the room. And again, to be fair,
where was Jim going to?
He had left the room. The CCC had the forum to answer the question. And to be fair to Danny McNamee, the CCC secretary, he gave a very good response. And, you know, he did offer to meet Jim and maybe thrash the thing out. But it was just quite
disappointing.
Probably. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Yeah,
he made the offer when Jim wasn't there. So
it was reported by the press.
Yeah. So, who knows?
Okay. The other thing I think that had Jim quite exercised during the week was the treatment, I suppose, of Paddy McBurtie post Bikegate, where I'm not quite sure that Liam O'Neill was quite as scathing as he was maybe made out to be about what happened or what didn't happen. But, you know, Jim had some fairly strong words, and, you know, it was interesting to note that he said that the Dublin player in question actually apologised or admitted to the bite after the game. So he's kind of saying, like, it's not fair to blame Paddy and all this, like, which was what I was worried about from the word go with all this, that it was going to lead nowhere and that, you know, Paddy would end up getting, you know, criticism unfairly.
Yeah, it was one man's word against the other, like, you know, and you know, there was no vested interest for Paddy McBurtie, as I think we said in the last podcast, to attend a hearings committee or disciplinary hearing that Kevin O'Brien had requested to stick it to O'Brien. Like, what was the benefit for him in it? Like, you know, I think everyone around this table here, whether they believe it in Dublin or not, we all accept it, and we all believe that McBurtie was bitten during the course of the game. And unfortunately, I mean, the president's comments were not helpful at all. He came out and said that, you know, you're better off saying nothing about this if you're not prepared to dance through every little hoop and every little line that we set up through our disciplinary process. When you get bit on the shoulder, you aren't anticipating that somehow is going to end up with you being called to Croke Park to give evidence against another player. Like, that's not what you would expect. What's also interesting, actually, just on the disciplinary side, is just today we've learned that Larry Corbett and JJ Delaney are going to get, they're not going to get match suspensions, they're going to get month-long suspensions because the rule book that the GA is operating under has got a few little glitches in it. And that's quite interesting because the CCCC and all the committees in Croke Park are all handpicked and appointed by Liam O'Neill. So we'll see now if Liam O'Neill is quite as quick to come out and criticise his own committees and himself as he was to criticise a 19-year-old player.
Mm. So let me understand then, Damien. If someone is red carded on the 26th of May, they get a month, or they won't get a game suspension, they'll get a month suspension.
No, they will actually. What happened was that the rule book was changed last year to put it in for 2012. It wasn't updated in time for the start of the 2013 league, so that meant that the 2013 league went back to the 2011 rules. However, players were suspended for match-based suspensions, and it's just emerged that couldn't have been done, and they had to revert to the time-based suspensions for the league. So it raises questions, actually, for the whole integrity of the league. I mean, I think there's been a big issue in a hurling match between Dublin and Limerick, where a Dublin player who should have been suspended had he served a length of time suspension, a four-week suspension instead of one match suspension, was able to play and was crucial in Dublin's win over Limerick, which saw Limerick fail to gain promotion to the top tier. There's been a number of players sent off in Division 1 in the Football League as well. Tomás O'Shea, you know, for example, got sent off, presumably got a one-game suspension for that, was able to come back. So really it's about as big a cock-up as the CCCC has made in a very long time. It's been made on the watch of the president, and it's his hand-picked committee that did it. We'll just see how he hasn't made any comment yet. I'm looking forward to hear his comment, because he was very pointed in how he made his comment specifically against Patrick McBurtie and Donegal by extension, that if you're not prepared to see this thing through to its logical conclusion, you shouldn't have even mentioned it in the first place. Mm. And, you know, he completely was on this. And in fairness to Kevin O'Brien, he was entitled to have his hearing and entitled to seek to have his good name cleared. But at the same time, you know, Patrick McBurtie was bitten.
Yeah. But then again, you know, Kevin O'Brien had the right to hear his name, but if, as Jim McGuinness said, he admitted to it or apologised, you know, at the game, then he... How can he clear his name? Like
it was a very hard thing. Look, when no official sees it and no video evidence was caught of it, like it was going to be one man's word against another's. Like, you know, and you know, rather than Dublin standing up and saying, "Yeah, our player did it, and we accept the suspension," they said, "Well, prove it," and it will be very hard proving without sure. Patrick Murray coming. And even if Patrick had to come and give his testament, there's no guarantee that. Yeah. You know? Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it was an invidious situation for Patrick Murray to find himself in. It has played out quite badly for Patrick individually, for Donegal in general. And the GAA's pointed comments, Liam O'Neill's pointed comments really didn't add to things at all, didn't help matters at all. And now I see McGuinness is in some quarters getting criticised because he responded to a question that was asked of him.
Yeah, Andy Kettles had a go
I think the mechanics of that process to either punish somebody or exonerate somebody, I mean, there's a breakdown there where it takes a young lad to actually appear like a court case, in fact, and say, yeah, that guy over there is the guy that bit me. I mean, as Damien said, we all believe that Patrick was, but there was evidence there, photographic evidence from a doctor and a lad of good character too. But we move on. I mean, I think Jim annually at this time of year gets animated and, you know, he's backed himself into a corner, and the best way to come out of a corner is swinging, and no different than after the Antrim game too a couple of years ago. I'm not saying this was engineered to motivate his players, but it's something that I think Donegal can maybe use in the next couple of weeks now. And I mean, we've talked about Patrick McBurdy too. I think it is very unfair in him. He's a lad that's, I suppose, in proximity to Dublin and going to college in Maynooth, I believe. And, you know, it's hard for a 19-year-old and an amateur code have to go through that there this last couple of weeks.
Maybe it's a bit of Mourinho by Jim, because Mourinho used to always do this sort of stuff where he took the focus off the preparation of the matches itself, and he could kind of handle it himself, which Jim surely can.
I'd love to see Jim in a laundry basket. that would be interesting. Okay, enough administrative matters. We mentioned briefly there that before the seniors take the field on the 26th of May, our minors will be taken on to Tyrone. A massive task, Damien, in the first round.
Yeah, actually they had a good win today in a challenge match away to Mayo. They won by 2-9-1, which is a pretty good indication. You know, Mayo, I suppose, are one of the better sides in Connacht and always have been. But a massive task, but probably not quite as big a task as they faced last year when they had to go play the reigning Ulster champions. Look, every minor squad and crop from either county is a, you know, who knows where they're at. They have played Tyrone, they lost by about 6 points in the Ulster Minor League, but I don't think that Donegal give a, that's not probably a true account of what happened. Donegal conceded
late. That came in after 45 minutes. Or something, yeah.
They conceded a couple of late scores in either half. Like, you know, they've done very well. They got to the Ulster Minor League final, where they got beaten by Monaghan. Monaghan had one good goal chance that they took, and Donegal a couple of good goal chances that they didn't take. So they've prepared relatively well. They are in decent shape. They've got quite a good defence. They've got a very good half-back line. They've two Ballyshannonmen, Colin Kelly and Eamon McGrath, along with Cian Mulligan from Gador. Mulligan in particular is very good at delivering the ball in, you know, forcing interceptions and delivering the ball in. They've Darrell Connors, the team captain, full forward, he's been suffering a bit from illness. He was suffering from illness in the game against Mona. I don't think he played today against Mayo either. But, you know, he's a real, if he gets an early score, he can do serious damage. They went to Down, for example, in the Ulster Minor semi-final and beat Down in Downpatrick. You know, a fancied enough Down team. So look, their performances have been pretty good. And, you know, it's hard to know. Who knows where Tyrone is? Tyrone obviously have a big reputation at underage level, but that, you know, they won the All-Ireland, whatever, 3-4 years ago at minor level. That doesn't really have a huge bearing on the 2013 flavour of them. Like, you know, I believe they may have, I hear their captain has sustained a serious injury as well, like, on Tyrone. But look, it's minor football, and it is just, you know, you're talking about 26th of May being fixated on that. I mean, for the minors, it entirely is. There is no back door for them. This is the one chance only. So hopefully a good crowd comes on to see them beforehand, because they're a very good side. Interesting enough, speaking of tickets, I hear as well that the minor players are getting 2 tickets each, but one of those tickets is the ticket that they themselves are going to be sitting on to watch the match. They're going to have to pick.
They said at county board, don't they, last night, that the minors don't need tickets themselves, it's just for two per player now?
No, but out of that 190 that's four players,
there's 70,
I think there's the 70 of those, but one of those they have to use to get readmitted to the stand for the senior games.
They're going to have to pick who am I going to give the tickets.
It'll be like Kramer versus Kramer, kind of. Okay, I mean, yeah, no, I'd encourage people to get in and see a bit of the minor game, because I can tell you, Darrell Connor Jigger is a very exciting player to watch when he's on the ball. Like, so that's a treat. Chris?
And I think just on our minors, they've been very encouraging the last few weeks without their own marquee player, Stephen McBurdy, one of the most exciting talents we have in Donegal. I think May 26th may come a wee bit too soon. I know they're hopeful, but I think it is very, very unlikely that he's going to play. But if he did happen to get over Tyrone, you know, to welcome a player like that back into the team would be huge. And, you know, there are some great young talents in that team. You know, Aidan McGinley, we mentioned Jigger, Darren McDade and Aidan Sweeney played in the minor final down in Glentish for Termin last night. The likes of Lorcan Connor, some great young talent. And again, I suppose we will appeal to people to get on early and give them a wee bit of backing.
They have a month. There's a month then after the Tyrone game, like, you know, because of exams and so on. Like, and that will give Steve McBurtie. And I suppose just talking about the turnover of players, you know, I think only three players that actually played in last year's championship are available again this year. And, you know, Steve McBurtie is one of those. Aidan McGinley and Conor Harkin are the only three that have survived, that actually played a few more in the squad last year. So, look, it's a huge turnover. It's a brand new team. Probably last year, you know, we had Ryan McHugh, who in particular stood out and was superb against Gavin, like, you know, so, and Owen as well. So they probably don't have a star quite of Ryan McHugh's calibre this year, but it looks like a pretty balanced team, and I expect that they'll give a very good account of themselves.
Mm. Hopefully. Okay, let's finish off by giving a prediction for the game on 26th of May. Alan?
I'll go for Donegal by two.
Donegal by two. Damien?
It's certainly going to be tight. There's never been more than a few points in it. Look, let's go for the replay and let's get the whole ticket handle going again. Draw.
The replay's definitely in Columbus.
A draw. Back at 8-1.
Frank?
I'm going for Donegal victory, but like Alan, I think it's going to be tight, and I'd settle for a 1-point victory. That'll do me fine.
Sure.
I've been saying it all year, so I suppose on the mic now I can't go back on it. And seeing Jim's demeanour and looking at Mickey Hart's demeanour, Jim's in a very good place at the moment. Like, he's been, he was a happy man, you know, speaking sort of off the record on Thursday night and stuff. I'm going to have done it all before.
Four, good. I would love for us to make a real statement against Tyrone and put our mark on Ulster this year. You know, we've a chance to go for three in a row. We've a chance to prove that, you know, we're now a better team than Tyrone and have been for some time. I mean, I do fear though. I mean, looking at the results over the last four championship games, 1 point in aggregate over four games, and granted, okay, they gave us a bit of a trimming back in 2007, I think, which kind of skews things slightly. But I think it's going to be less than 2 points. Given it was 3 points in 2011, 2 points, I'm going to go for a 1 point win or a draw.
And my big fear, Kieran, will be if Donegal lost, all that pent up anger you had about Donegal being relegated might all spew out again. So
Haven't been at the Division 2 final if we're not playing there in Croke Park next year, something's gone badly wrong. But anyway,
just an interesting point. Like, I know it's a cliche when rivals play this form because out the window, but I remember doing a piece a couple of years ago. It was before Jim's first championship game against Tyrone. Donegal had been in the Dublin for a decade. Tyrone 3 All-Irelands, that's his 5 Ulsters. They'd played 17 times. They'd been 8 wins apiece and 1 draw. So it really proves that.
I think, you know, Jim was talking about qualifiers the last night, and he said qualifiers hadn't entered his airspace. And, you know, I suppose for a lot of teams, losing in the first round wouldn't be a disaster. But I think Jim really values the Ulster Championship, and he does hold Ulster dear to his heart. And I think that'll come into play as well. Yeah. That's why I've pushed the boat out for a 4-point win.
We'll take a look at what happened to Tyrone last year after we knocked him out of the Ulster Championship. I mean, that really deflated their season. You know, ultimately, they went down to a very disappointing defeat in Kerry. Like, and, you know, so much is invested in this tie between Donegal and Tyrone that, you know, whoever comes out the wrong side of it will have a task to get themselves back to the Ireland quarterfinals. They're going to have to go a very circuitous route, and, you know, they want to make sure they avoid some of the big fish. Maybe that
I could, think that game against Kildare 2 seasons ago, the fact that we were provincial champions and maybe they weren't, you know, I'd probably just seen us over the line, you know, and give us that, I suppose, little bit of an edge. So I'd be devastated if they go through the qualifiers, unless you got some place on a Saturday night that has some great nightlife. But we cross that bridge when we come.
We'll leave it at that for now, folks. Thanks again to our producer Michael Moran and Full Tilt Studios for hosting us. Hope to see as many of you as possible on 26th of May, even though that's a big ask. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Football Special.